ordains what happens in our lives. And Father, you do it in love, and you do it ultimately out of love for yourself, Father, which is good for all of us, Father, as we see you glorified as our Creator God. And Father, how you have extended to us such grace and such mercy in the unfolding of your plan for yourself. And Father, I thank you that in our church fellowship here, we can have the opportunity to talk about the study of your word. And Father, we can sharpen one another as we relate our own life experiences and the things you've taught us through your word and in the study of your word. And Father, help us to apply our hearts to wisdom. Help us to incline our ears to understanding. Father, help us to seek your wisdom as silver. And Father, I thank you for the blessing that it is that we can fellowship. Father, we can fellowship with a kindred heart, Father, a heart that has been redeemed. Father, but also we can fellowship around something so precious as your very word to us, your revelation. And Father, give us wisdom, bless our discussion, and may it be something that sharpens one another, Father. Help it to be something that pleases you. Guard us, keep us in humility, Father. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. All right, so I keep moving my timeline a little bit, but I think it is set now. So we got this week and then next week, and then the week after that, Wayne Deckard is going to start into the book of Joshua. And I know he's already preparing for that, and I'm excited to sit under Wayne's teaching there. I think it's going to be a blessing, it's going to be informative, and it's going to be extraordinarily helpful for us. As you know, just to kind of orient us here, we've been sort of moving off of systematic theology and kind of meandering through some topics related to Bible interpretation, right? We've hit on a lot of stuff. We're going to talk about the clarity of the Word today, and I think that'll be a good topic for us to bring up again. We covered this when we talked about bibliology, but that was, boy, 2 years ago, I think, or more. So good time for us to bring it up again. But as you've been thinking about the whole thing of Bible study and spending time in the Word and understanding the Word correctly, any thoughts that have been coming back to your mind here over the last few weeks as you've meditated maybe on some of the things we've discussed? Anything stand out to you that we could just sort of rehearse a little bit? Been talking about hermeneutics, right? Principles of Bible interpretation. Been talking about, last week we talked about how we read the Word as believers, as individuals who have been redeemed. We have life, spiritual life. We talked about what spiritual life is and what spiritual life means, and how we are different from the unbelieving world when it comes to opening the Word and understanding it. Something we can't forget. Don't forget you're a Christian. Don't forget all that that means. But any thoughts come to your mind? Anything that we can rehearse, review together? All right, clarity. Clarity of the Word. Another word for clarity is perspicuity. Perspicuity. All right, we won't use that term too much. Something, when we talk about perspicuity, we're talking... I did not make it up. So we're talking about the word being perspicuous. Perspicuous. Okay, and what that means is it is understandable. Perspicuity is another term for understandability, and I kind of sort of made that up. I don't know if that's a real term, but you get what it means, right? Understandability. The clarity of Scripture means that the Bible is written and it has come to us in such a way that its teachings are able to be understood by all who will read it, seeking God's help and being willing to follow it.
Okay? And I think this is a pretty good definition. This definition more or less excludes the unbeliever, right? It would, I suppose, include the unbeliever who is moved in his heart to seek after God, right? God will make his word clear. All right, but there's this, the word is understood by those who read it, right, or are in the hearing of the word, and it is understandable to those who seek God's help and are willing to follow it. So, development of the doctrine of clarity of Scripture and why it's important. Well, Psalm 119:30, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It gives understanding unto the simple. Let's unpack this a little bit. What is this verse saying about the word, and what is it saying about us? All right, we are not thinking God's thoughts by default, are we? And that is a good definition of being simple. God's word gives light, it gives understanding. The word is a lamp to my feet, a light unto my path. And you take away the lamp, and what is this verse saying? Our path is dark. Right now, let's kind of take in these sort of scripture clippings here. Okay, taken from the Gospels, all of them. Likely, these were quotations from whom? Jesus. Right? Have you not read what David did, or have you not read in the law? Matthew 19:4, have you not read? Matthew 21:42, have you never read in the Scriptures? And then Matthew 22:31, have you not read what was said to you by God? Now, there were probably some people who had not actually read, but what's the implication here? You have read, okay? But when Christ says, have you not read, it is as though they had not read. And what is Christ saying about his listeners, those he's talking to right here? Lack of understanding. Lack of understanding. Okay, so it's a reality that there are those who misunderstand or understand incorrectly the Word of God. Christ said, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Go and learn. Yeah, the idea is that they have heard that saying, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, but you've got to go and you've got to learn what this actually means and how this applies. Are you a teacher of Israel? He's talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a very, very learned individual, a very, very well-educated, probably a very elderly individual, a senior leader of Israel, a teacher of Israel, perhaps the teacher of Israel. We're not perfectly certain there, but regarded as somebody who knew the law and knew the writings of God and knew some of the oral tradition as well. Are you the teacher of Israel and yet you do not understand these things? And the reality was is he didn't understand these things. And Christ rightly pointed out that that's not right. That's a problem there. Okay, you are wrong because you know neither the Scriptures nor the power of God. So Christ indicated that believers have weakness in understanding the word. Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. I believe this is, I'm not certain, this may be the road to Emmaus, but I'm not exactly certain. All right, Grudem says that clarity is a property of Scripture, not a property of its readers, who vary widely in their understanding. What do you think of that definition? Clarity. Well, what do we mean by clarity? What does the word clarity mean to you?
Clear.
Right, yeah. So what's the difference between clear and clarity? Is there any difference semantically in our English understanding of the terms? I think clarity is a very good term. What about a diamond? A diamond is generally translucent, it's clear, right? But what does clarity mean? It's free of obstruction, right? You can, it is what it is. It's very, very transparent, very pure, very clear. We talk about clarity from a cognitive standpoint, right? We're talking about understandability, the ability to understand it the way it was intended to, the meaning that it was intended to communicate. All right. So what do you think of this definition? Clarity is a property of Scripture, not a property of its readers who vary widely in their understanding. Is that a good definition? See any problems with it? What do you think? Take a second and mull over that a little bit. Yeah, Grant, what do you think?
I think there's some merit to that.
Okay.
I think, well, the believers should have clarity, but at the same time, clarity is given by God.
Yeah.
That's part of the definition you had earlier.
Right.
By God's help. In his scripture, there is no problem with clarity of scripture for the readers.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Brian, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Clarity
becomes
more of a
sure.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, I look at myself, you know, 4 years ago compared to now, the difference is clear.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Other thoughts? I get what Grudem is trying to do here. He's trying to say that if there is misunderstanding with respect to the Word, it's not the fault of the Scriptures, right? That's kind of what he's trying to say there. Now, if the Scripture isn't read, is clarity even an issue? Right? Clarity assumes that there are readers, right? And it assumes that the Scripture, to a certain extent, accommodates our weakness, right? I mean, isn't that what Revelation is? It's God taking His mind and His heart and somehow, in some miraculous way, distilling it into words that we can read and understand and take away the meaning that God intended for us as limited, weak human beings to understand. So there's a sense in which the Scripture is written in such a way that it accommodates our weakness. Right? But if there is misunderstanding, it is not to do with the Scriptures. Okay? And do readers of the Scriptures... I keep moving that. Do readers of the Scriptures vary in their level of understanding? Absolutely. Yeah. Oh. All right. So here's a good... kind of a good long look at it. So Scripture affirms that it is able to be understood, and then we've got seven qualifiers. All right, seven qualifiers. Scriptures affirm that the Scriptures are able to be understood, but not all at once, not without effort, not without ordinary means. We'll talk about what ordinary means is. Not without the reader's willingness to obey it. In other words, your unwillingness to obey it is probably going to obscure the meaning. Not without the help of the Holy Spirit. Not without human misunderstanding. Okay, emphasis on human. And then never completely. So let's talk about each of these here. All right, not all at once. Psalm 1:2. Okay, this is, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. Okay, what's Psalm 1:2 suggesting? Meditation is something that can take up our time, day and night. For a long time. Okay, not all at once. I mean, isn't that pretty much a self-evident truth about study of the Scriptures, right? It's a big book. You sit down, you can't take it all in. Wayne's got a thought.
I think you'd see an example of this even with the disciples as they listened to Jesus' teaching.
Yeah.
I know that they didn't understand a lot of things until after the crucifixion, but there definitely was, they were gaining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Good. Okay. Let's crack this open a little bit further. Not all at once. Okay, obviously you can't read the whole Scriptures in one setting. It's probably been done. It's impractical though, okay? So maybe that's not entirely what this is talking about, not all at once. Have you ever read a passage and you come back and you read it maybe another time and another time, and you read it some years later, and as you grow in the Lord, the Scriptures grow in their significance to you, they grow in their applicability to your life as a believer. Anybody experienced this? Right? Okay? Right? What has changed? We have changed, right? We have come to understand more fully the Word of God. Okay? And this is really just making the case for a life of Bible study, a life of taking in the Word of God. Not without effort. Ezra 7:10, Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Okay? Ezra had prepared his heart. So there's preparation of heart. Probably preparation of mind, preparation of the ability to communicate the truths of the Scriptures. Okay, how many find Bible study to be challenging at times? Yeah, what makes it challenging? What's that? It's work. Yeah, it's work. Okay, what kind of work? What kind of... Where is that effort? Caitlin, what makes it hard for you? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's a discipline of heart. Yep, okay, good. Yeah, Brian. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in many cases, maybe Jenny, this is where you were getting at too. All of you have spent time studying some sort of thing at one point, right? You know, you've probably, during the course of your academic career, whatever that was, you probably come to realize that there are better times of the day in which to study, right? How many of you are late-night studiers? If you're going to get it done, it's late at night. How many of you are early morning? I'm early morning. Okay, if I'm going to learn something, it's at 5 a.m. in the morning. The rest of the day is not nearly as good. Yeah, so there are good times, less times where we are, you know, as cognitively sharp. But study takes effort, right? Jenny, what? Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And the Scriptures aren't like film, right? They aren't like a video. You sit down and you let it, you know, mix all these media elements and have that sort of impact upon you, right? It's not that way. It is, you have to read, right? Doug?
I just said a word earlier that just applies to this.
Discipline.
Just discipline.
Yeah.
Itself.
Discipline.
Yeah. Yep.
Right.
It's like, you know, not without effort.
Yeah.
To come out of the Scriptures.
Yep. Yep. Sure.
It's like getting fit. You don't just say, "Oh, okay, I'm fit."
Yeah. Well, yeah. Sure. Sure. Yep. Yep. Absolutely. I mean, if I said, you know, okay, I have 10 verses that I want you to memorize before next Sunday, you've got to do it, or you lose your church membership. Right. Okay. All legalism issues aside, there. Right. If I told you need to sit down and you got to memorize these verses, okay, what would that mean of you? Okay, if you had 10 verses and you had to memorize those in a week, all right, what would that require of you? It would probably require multiple times during the week where you sit down, and how do you memorize? Right, I memorize by reading something and reading it and reading it and reading it and reading it, right? And Memorizing things, if you're like me, you can't just sit down and memorize it and it sticks for the rest of your life, right? You have to look at it again and look at it again and look at it again, and it would take effort, right? Okay, well, even if we don't have a regimen of Scripture memory, right, I think there is, similarly, there's some effort that is required for us to go to the Word and to understand it correctly, right? It takes preparation of heart, it takes discipline, it takes a certain amount of discipline. And it takes a certain amount of understanding ourselves. You know, it may be best that you don't read the Word of God at your dullest cognitive moment of the day, right? Maybe you've got to read it when you're sharp, if you're going to take away what should be taken away. Right? Maybe you've got to plan your coffee right ahead of reading the Word, right? Yeah, not without effort. All right, not without ordinary means. What does this mean? What was Grudem saying here when he said that the Scriptures are understood correctly, not without ordinary means? What do you think he's referring to here? Ordinary means. Well, we understand the word of... Go ahead.
Would that be that we have to listen to someone talk about it, we have to read it, we have to study it, it's not going to come by some mystical, magical...
Yes. Yep, absolutely, absolutely. Everybody catch that? We understand the Scriptures by reading it, okay? Not by, the picture of the college student, you know, who's like conked out on a chair with a book on his, you know, on his head, hoping that by osmosis he kind of takes in the content there. And what Wayne was saying, it's not by some mystical means that we somehow assimilate the Word of God. We assimilate the Word of God simply by reading it, by getting in and doing the work of study. Okay? Maybe it takes memorizing a passage before you really get your mind around it. Right? It means using some of the study aids that God has blessed us with, right? Commentaries, study Bibles, things like that. It means coming to church and hearing the Word, too. That's an ordinary means that God has established for understanding the Scriptures. Something that we could mention here is that understanding the Scriptures assumes literacy on the part of the reader, right? Okay, so I know one individual who works for Bibles International. He's a translation consultant. And when they go into some African country, let's just say South American country, somewhere, and they come in and they realize that this people group, this language group, does not have the Scriptures, you know what often comes with that? The realization they also don't have their language reduced to written form. So if you're going to translate the Scriptures, what do you need to do as well? You've got to reduce their language down to written form, and you've got to teach them how to read. That's huge, right? Is the Bible worth it? It's worth every bit of that. But talk about a huge endeavor, reducing a language down to some sort of written form, and then taking the Scriptures and translating it into that written form in a way that is faithful to the meaning. Very challenging. All right? I think we would call that an ordinary means. And for those who are not able to read, what must they do? They must fellowship with those who can read it to them. Okay? It assumes hearing. Not without the reader's willingness to obey it. John 8, 43, why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. And if we don't approach the word with a willingness to obey it, are we going to take away the right meaning? I think our unwillingness to obey the Scriptures is going to convolute what the Scriptures are saying. Not without the help of the Holy Spirit. We go to 1 Corinthians 2 a lot, don't we, with respect to this point here. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. We might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Holy Spirit helps us to understand the Word. Holy Spirit is granted to every believer to enable this understanding. A lot of the misunderstanding of the word out there, I think, can be attributed to, one of these points here, particularly an unwillingness to obey it and lack of the Holy Spirit's guidance, both of which are characteristics of the unbeliever. Okay, not without human misunderstanding. 2 Peter 3:15-16. Peter said, "Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also the other scriptures, under their own destruction." Okay, so what he's saying here is it's not just the things that Paul writes. Okay, Paul writes some difficult things. Okay, and what is the difficulty implied there? It implies that it takes us being willing to understand it and investing effort in understanding it, but those that are unlearned and unstable, and we'd have to unpack this verse to understand what Peter is talking about there when he talks about unlearned and unstable. But Peter's making the comment here that there are some people who take Paul and they misunderstand what he's writing, and they do so under their own destruction. They rest, they rip the scriptures out of context. And they do that to their own destruction. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Amen. You think this verse has been wrest from its context and used inappropriately? Okay, so how do you understand this verse? How do you arrive at what you believe is a qualified, appropriately qualified understanding of what this verse is saying? Okay, let's bring our theology to bear onto this verse in a responsible way so that we take away a meaning that is intended. Yeah, Wayne.
Well, the previous verse,
yep,
take this in context so that the Father may be glorified in the Son.
Okay. Okay, so that's a big, big time narrowing feature of the context, right? Yeah, Grant.
And anyway, as you see within the context of God's will.
Yep, right. Boy, that narrows it further, right? Perhaps.
And that goes back to the clarity, because we're not always going to understand that.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, there's examples in the scriptures of God not granting what people ask for. Yeah, yep. Yeah, yep. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Sure, yep, yep. There's no guarantee of that. Yep, in the scriptures. So people who take this and they misapply it to life, why do they do it? Why do they do that? Chris?
Gain.
Todd
Friel, who I think he is now on the still on Christian cable network. Wretched. He's got a local talk show called Talk the Walk.
Okay.
And at the beginning he would play a clip of teacher, I won't mention her name, her initials are Joyce Meyer. Who would say, "Speak to that wallet in God's name, speak to it, and it will be full of money."
Yeah.
And then he would cut to a clip of his own son, maybe 5 years old at the time, saying, "Come on, cookie jar, in God's name, you're full of cookies, cookie jar."
That's great. That's funny. Yeah. That's good. You think Joyce Meyer is serious? Yikes. Yep, yep. And there are a lot of people who buy into that, too. So if we read this verse and we say, okay, there's a qualified way of understanding that, is there any, are we putting limits on God? Are we limiting His Word? No, I think on the contrary, we are respecting God and respecting His Word by understanding exactly what He wanted us to understand from this passage. And is this a powerful verse? Absolutely. In the context in which it is placed and the point it is making, it is incredibly powerful. Yeah, Grant.
To me, it's even that first three words in my name.
Yeah.
That preordained permissive approach.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. We go to God's Word wanting what God wants. Yep. So, go back to a previous point here. Not without human misunderstanding. There's a lot of people who misunderstand things and wrest scriptures from their context. And then we'll never understand the scriptures completely. Maybe in the eternal state we'll understand the scriptures completely, but I don't know that we'll ever understand God completely. We will understand Him more and more and more in a cumulative fashion for all of eternity, but probably we'll never understand God's infinite greatness completely. But in this limited time we have on earth here, are we going to ever understand the scriptures completely? My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So the scriptures will never be understood completely, and it's a good case for us to study the scriptures for a lifetime. So scripture affirms that it is able to be understood, but not all at once, not without effort, not without ordinary means, not without the reader's willingness to obey it, not without the help of the Holy Spirit, not without human misunderstanding at times, and never completely. Right, so we should apply our hearts to understanding the Word of God for a lifetime. It's a lot that has to go right here, right? A lot that has to go right here. So when we take away wrong conclusions from the Word and we misunderstand it, there's something here that has gone wrong, right? What do you think of the things we struggle with the most as believers? In understanding the Word. Pastor. Effort from your pastor. And if your pastor struggles with effort in the Word, that's probably a good proxy measure for all the rest of us, too, right? Yeah. All right. What else?
Yeah.
Expectations. Yeah. 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 Sure. Yeah. Scott. Yeah.
Unwillingness to obey.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's huge. I mean, I think that is more of a problem for us than we ever realize. Pastor?
I think I added to my greatness to be number 5 about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The number of careless study sessions I will have where I'm not careful to stop and ask for God's help, even though that would be very difficult.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Whenever you sit down to the Word, you should ask God, please help me to understand this. Give me your mind and your heart in this to understand what you have for me in the Word. Yeah. Not without ordinary means. I think we could really meditate on what this means. You know, I mean, this is a thought that's come to my mind lately. But why do we take care of ourselves as human beings? Why would you exercise? Why would you eat right? Why would you encourage healthy behaviors in your children and in others? And I think one reason is so that you have the capacity to study the Word and the capacity to worship, right? Why should you be interested in keeping your mind sharp for a lifetime? Well, so we can interact with others and keep those relationships going. But what's our greatest relationship? It's with God. And we can fellowship with God. We can accumulate a prayer language to God by seeing His mind in His Word, right?
And the healthier you can be, the stronger you can be, the more cognitively sharp you can be. Why do we teach our children to learn their math and to learn their English and all of those things that they just are disgusted with, right? Why do we put them through those regimens to learn all of these things? Well, I guess if we probably my default answer is, well, I want them to grow up to be a functional adult, right? But as Christians, couldn't we lump into there also? We want them to have the capacity to worship God and understand Him as much as they possibly humanly can. And using these ordinary means, using all the faculties of their mind to try to get their mind around the truth that God has given to them, right? Just something to think about. But God has given us minds. He's given us rational abilities, rational capabilities. And then He's given us His Word in a written form, which it takes our cognitive, rational capabilities to read and understand. And so, an investment in your cognitive growth can be something that helps you in your worship of God and your knowledge of God. I mean, one of the most sad things about the fact that we as human beings, fallen human beings, deteriorate as we reach the end of our lives is that our minds aren't as sharp, and our ability to treasure and love God with our minds deteriorates, right? And it might be the glory of the resurrection, right? When all of that is fixed, and all of that is, you know, Pastor has made a point in some of the recent funeral sermons that, right, when somebody is resurrected, instantly, all of that cognitive weakness is gone. And their ability to love God with their mind and their heart is at full capacity. And I think the Scripture leaves hints for us, too, that in the eternal state there will be growth, too. So you'll be able to understand God in a cumulative sense, more and more and more. So, a bit of a rabbit trail, but as we look at the Scriptures now and we endeavor to understand them, the Scriptures are clear. There's clarity there. There's perspicuity there. The Scriptures are perspicuous. All right? But we are beset with weakness as human beings. And I think the Holy Spirit, as we engage the Holy Spirit as our help in humility, He's going to help us with all the rest of these things as well, right? So, any thoughts as we close? Thoughts? All right, Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you, Father, that your Word is clear. And Father, I thank you that by the very definition of your Word as revelation, Father, you have revealed to us weak human beings your mind. And you've revealed it to us in a way that accommodates our weakness. And Father, help us to be willing to expend effort. Lord, help us to have the zeal and motivation that will be required to invest our lives in the study of your Word. And Father, help us never to look at Bible study and Bible meditation, Bible memory. Help us never to look at these things as fruitless endeavors. Father, help us to see them as ways in which we can worship you with our minds and hearts. And Father, help us to understand your Word rightly. Help us to seek the Holy Spirit's help and strength in our reading. Father, help us not to be afraid to dig in deeply into your Word, Father, and run into areas that are challenging and difficult and seek through the tools that you have sovereignly allowed to exist in our day and age, Father, to help us in the understanding of your Word. Give us discernment, Father. Give us a willingness to obey your Word. Father, remove all of these obstacles, Father, that characterize us as weak human beings. Remove these so that we can understand you as you have revealed yourself to us. And Father, I pray you bless our service as it follows, Father. Help us to have willing hearts to listen to your Word. Help us to have a desire to be transformed by your word, and also a faith that you will do so in our lives. And Father, we will praise you for what you do for us. Father, may you be glorified as well. In Christ's name, amen.